Welcome to the City of Ocean City Zoning Board, November 19th, 2025. This meeting has been advertised pursuant to PL Chapter 231, also known as the Open Public Meeting Act. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you have any electronic devices, please turn them off or silence them now. No. Sorry. Roll call, Mr. Becker, Mr. Buck, Mr. DeMarco, Mr. Gallagher, Mr. Geary,
here.
Mr. Logue,
here.
Mr. Price,
here.
Mrs. Snyder,
here.
Mr. Waddell.
Here.
Under Secretary's reports, can I have a motion to adopt the October 15th, 25 minutes?
Buck.
Second?
Waddell.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? May I have a motion to adopt resolution ZBA 25-013 Veneria?
Buck.
Second?
Waddell.
Roll call. Mr. Geary?
Yes.
Mr. Logue?
Yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mrs. Snyder?
Yes.
I turn the meeting over to the chair, Mr. Buck.
Mr. Tyler, if you would.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Avery Tyler for the record. Here on the application of Stephen and Lisa Kettleberger, they're the owners of 4721 Central Avenue, Residence Lot 2, in Block 4701.3. The property is the interior lot and one of only three properties located in both the Neal Tract and the RO150 zone, and it's an older single-family dwelling. The applicants are seeking approval to construct a new single-family dwelling on the property that would be totally conforming if it was located completely in the RO150 zone. Because the property is split zone, the ordinance says the most restrictive zone is applied to the development. As a result, height variance for pitched roof and cupola are required, as well as a variance for floor area ratio. It's extremely important for the board to note that these requests result entirely from the property being in split zone, and the proposed building that's before you is fully conforming for the RO150 zone. It's also important for the board to take notice of the fact that 80 existing non-conforming conditions are being eliminated in the proposed dwelling as under the thresholds of front yard setback, side yard setback, building coverage, and impervious coverage in the R1 zone. The variances that we're requesting tonight can be granted under the C1 or hardship standard as a result of a split zone on the property, which resulted in undue hardship upon the applicants. The requested variances can also be granted using the C2 standard in that multiple purposes of the zoning to achieve that building project, including reducing and eliminating any existing non-conforming conditions that exist at the property, creating neighborhood consistency and matching the scale in the immediate area, promoting a more desirable visual environment. These purposes also qualify as the special reasons for the granting of the D variances. The positive aspects of granting the application will outweigh any negative aspects. As a result, the testimony and evidence will indicate that there is no substantial detriment to the public good. Granting the requested variance is not substantially greater than the intended purpose of the zoning plan and zoning ordinance. The applicant's first witness is the project architect, Christine Ames.
Raise your hand, Mr. McFay, if you can raise yours as well. Do you both swear affirm to tell the truth?
Yes.
Yes.
And if you can state your name and affiliation for the record.
Christina, Principal Christina Amy Architect, LLC, 761 Asbury Avenue, Ocean City, New Jersey. I've been a licensed architect for...
I believe you've been in front of the board.
2008, I can't
remember. Yeah, you're waiting for me, so I've zoned out. We're good.
Okay.
Ms. Amy, could you provide the board a overview of the application and the project that we're presenting tonight?
Yes. When I originally met with my client and started working with them, we designed the house with the intent of, we thought it was in the R1 oceanfront district, and went about those zoning regulations in the design of their house. The house is just shy of 3,600 square feet. It is 2.56 floors on the elevated base with the house coordinated they're in the middle of the block of a three property block, and they are short side facing central towards the beach, like many beach properties are. The exception of that, which I'm going to briefly, is in the Neal Zone, you know, a standard block is split essentially into three. Two of the blocks that are oceanfront have properties that are perpendicular or parallel to the beach. And then where we're talking about, the properties are perpendicular to the beach, like most of the beach properties. I have an exhibit.
I think this is, let's have the exhibit. And okay. I think it's critical for the board to understand that these three properties, so our subject property and the two properties north and south, are the only properties in this entire area that are in the Neal Tract and face east and west. Is that correct?
Correct.
Every other property anywhere nearby is that's on the beach faces the same way, but it's in an R1 zone, correct?
Correct. And the Neal Tract, for the depth, that which is 100 feet of lot depth, is the first 40 feet. Because what has happened is the other two properties, where the lots go parallel to the beach, that very first lot along Central is the lot that's in the Neal District. And then for whatever reason, that zoning line was carried across those three lots, splitting them into two-thirds, one-third.
The majority of our property is in the R1O zone, correct?
Correct. 60% of it is, 40% of it is not.
So it's pretty obvious from looking at the map and the research that you've done, this is a mistake, correct?
It would seem that way, yes. And I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
One other thing I want to point out is if you look at, and I know this is not bringing the whole zoning map to the zoning board meeting, but I just want to show you something here.
Can we mark the exhibit? So that first one with the tax, with the zoning map, the first one she showed.
So what you have in front of, for the record, Avery, what is up on the board?
What I'm going to do is, this will be A1.
Okay.
A1 is a blown up zoning map of the Neal Tract.
Is that what's up there?
No.
What's up there right now, which I'm saying.
Okay, and this is going to be A2.
Hold on. A1 is blown up. Z-map.
Right.
And what is in front of the board, just for the record, that you're going to be testifying from, do not lift your hand. Tell us what
do not lift your
hand.
But wait a second, it's not just the zoning map, it's like the tax map too.
The tax map, in the packet we're given, is a tax map, a zoning map, and an aerial photograph.
And that is, was that presented to us
when
you're showing up there?
I'm about to.
Let's go to this first one. So the bottom is not in the...
The bottom is in the packet you just received.
Yes, they're both in here.
Mark.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm trying to say, Mark. It's not just the...
This is A1, A2, and A3. Okay. So we'll call them A1, A2.
A1 is Neal Tract.
Neal Tract.
A2 is the surrounding area. And A3 is aerial. A4 is about to be the City of Ocean City zoning map.
Yes. Okay, right. Thank you.
The packet you were just handed is also on the second page of the original submission, so they're just larger. Mm-hmm. It's the regular page. Mm-hmm.
So now we've thrown you totally off guard.
No. So what I just wanted to illustrate here is from 23rd Street, which is where the boardwalk starts, south, or again, we'll show you a look at it, south, all of those beachfront properties are the R residential oceanfront zone, with the exception of these three, which are partially in that, and then there's one neighborhood business, I think it's three, but of the residential buildable lots, all of them are fully in the neighborhood, I'm sorry, the residential oceanfront zone, and then these three for that one portion of that one block are 60% A, 40% F. So it's an unusual situation for that residential oceanfront zone as a whole.
I asked you this question earlier today. There's 59 parcels in the Neal Tract, is that correct?
That is correct. In the Neal Tract, which is here, there's 59 parcels.
And at the three parcels, ours and the ones to the north of ours and the south of ours, are the only ones that are oriented east to west, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And they're also the only ones that are on the beach that are in the Neal Tract. Would that also be correct?
That is correct.
Okay. So, obviously, I said this before, this is a mistake, and we come to that conclusion based upon the orientation of these lots, number one, and also the lot size. too, correct?
That is correct. As per the zoning, the Neal neighborhood zone is established and intended to provide and maintain residential characteristics of a compact, single-family neighborhood where the lots are generally wider than they are deep. So wider than they are deep. And then this is not the case at all for this lot.
The lot that we're talking about, the two north and south bars, are normal 40 by 100 beachfront lots, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
What I would say, quarters are 45, I believe. Yes.
Average, what I would say is to be an average beachfront lot in terms of size and orientation.
Correct.
Okay. All right, so as a result of this mistake, we need a couple of variances in order to build the house. We need a variance for height for the principal structure, correct?
Yes.
Height for the cupola, correct?
Yes.
And floor area ratio.
Correct.
And just, I'm going to say this again, I've said it already three times. This property that you designed would be fully conforming if it was wholly in the RO150 zone, is that correct?
Correct.
All right. So the height variance, it is a D height variance. Again, just because we're in the split zone, correct?
Correct.
The reality is the height of this building is going to be the same size, give or take, as most other new constructions that are on the beach in the area. Would that be a fair statement?
That is a fair statement.
All right. So what you're proposing is going to match other new constructions in terms of scale and massive from a height perspective. Would that be fair?
That is fair. Okay. Can I add something about
sure.
this house at its height?
Yes.
So, going back to the original submitted drawing, you can see on the site plan that the house that we're proposing is not as far as close to the street as it's permitted to be. 10 feet is the minimum front yard setback, irrelevant what zone. And we are 20 feet to the true wall of the house, about 18 and a half feet to a bump out. So we're pushed back almost double what is required. So the mass getting closer to the street is less. In addition, that very front portion, the building height there, is only 31 feet 4 inches because it has a lower, it's narrower, so it has a lower roof mass. And that goes for the first roughly 6.5 feet. The next 8 feet. The next 8 feet. I'm sorry. The first portion is just the deck, so that's less. That's only 24 feet above the ground. 24 feet above the 24 feet building height, and then it's 31 for the remaining, the next 8 feet. So the house is back further. It's lower at the front steps, and then steps again to the residential ocean front. 33-foot height. In addition, I know, I guess in the past, when there has been split zones, I don't know how many times that has happened, but the more restrictive is what gets applied. In this case, the residential oceanfront is more restrictive for impervious coverage and building coverage, whereas building height and floor area ratio are more restrictive for the Neal District. So I'm not sure who determines which is more restricted in that kind of case, but that is the situation for this lot, at least.
We're not here for an interpretation.
No, we're not here for interpretation.
Not at all. And it's been, just kidding.
And it's been interpreted that the Neal track's more restricted. However, yeah. We thought it'd be important for the board to understand that there's both zones have their own unique restrictions. So, Ms. Ian, we cover the height variance. The same questions with the floor area ratio. I don't want to belabor the point, but the reality is we're going to be consistent with almost all the other beachfronts based upon your testimony that you just gave and the fact that this is conforming under the R10 zone. From a practical standpoint, we're going to be compliant with everything else that's being built along the beachfront.
Correct. And again, this is less in building coverage and impervious coverage than any old neighborhood would have.
The problem with split zones, as I understand it, and I want you to testify to this, is that it creates irregular building envelopes because of the fact that we've got Neal track and then we've got RO tracks and they're incongruent. Would that be accurate?
That's accurate, yes.
Okay. And you've already testified to this, the Neal track, the restrictions were not intended for half lots or partially included parcels. The purpose of the Neal track was to deal with smaller compact lots that were wider rather than longer.
Correct.
All right, and that's in the purpose of the zone. That's not our interpretation. That's in the underlying purpose of the Neal track zone, correct?
Correct.
All right. And you've already testified what we have here is normal size lots that are oriented towards the beach. So what we're proposing is going to match the established pattern of beachfront properties that
correct.
Are already there.
Correct. And then the four, I'm sorry, the it's four on one lot and then three on the other. Going back to the tax map, you can see that the beachfront lots with these other two lots are fully in that residential oceanfront zone. So those would be higher, potentially more floor area ratio.
Let's discuss some of the non-conforming conditions we're eliminating. They're listed on Mr. Maffei's report on page 3. We're eliminating 8 non-conforming conditions, is that correct?
That is correct.
Let's go through them. Side yard setback on both north and south side yards.
Both side yard setbacks and combined side yard setback, yeah.
Okay, rear yard setback and rear yard setback to the front property line, or from the front property line, I should say?
Yes.
Okay. Building coverage and impervious coverage you testified to, correct?
Yes.
And parking setback?
Correct.
All right. You've already mentioned this, or again, but I think it bears repeating, that the house that we're proposing, our north side side yard setback is a foot greater than it could be?
Yes.
And the front yard setback you testified to about 8.5 feet from the projection and 10 feet from the building?
Correct.
All right. And rear yard setback, that's even 3 feet greater than what it could be?
Yes.
And because we're using the RO standards, building coverage and impervious coverage are 5% below?
Correct.
All right. In your professional opinion, can these variances be granted using the C1 or hardship standard?
Yes.
All right. And it's your understanding split zones are considered a hardship under our municipal land use law?
Yes.
All right. And this created a hardship upon the applicants, obviously.
Yes.
Wasn't a self-created hardship. They own the property, and this is what they're dealt with.
No, they were just additional tracts in other zones. It existed that way.
Okay. In your professional opinion, using the C2 standard, can the variances be granted because several purposes of zoning are being met under the municipal land use law?
Yes.
All right. Obviously, you're securing the property from flood, making it safer, correct?
Correct.
We're eliminating all these existing nonconformities that you just testified to, correct?
Correct.
We're promoting neighborhood consistency based upon the fact that these lots, this property is going to be very similar to every single one of the other oceanfront lots. Would that be a fair statement?
Yes.
All right. This promotes the general welfare?
It does.
All right. And we're also creating a desirable visual environment?
We are. We're also adding the safety because it'll have the fire rating necessary for its own building, but the existing house short is not for those four fire setbacks.
Okay. And the special reasons that exist for granting the D variances, because there are D variances, are the same that would exist for the granting of the C2 variances. But most importantly, the proposed building will be fully conforming with the standards of the RO150 zone and all the other properties along the beach to be testified to, correct?
Correct.
So, but for the fact that this line bisects our property, we'd be fully conforming, we wouldn't even be here.
Correct.
All right. Can you think of substantial detriment to the public good based on your testimony?
I cannot.
All right. Granting the application substantially impair the intent and purpose of the zone plan or zoning ordinance. Granted the application substantially
yes.
Impair the intent.
No, we're not.
We're not. We're following the standards that are promulgated under the RO150 zone. Okay, so it's your testimony, the negative criteria is satisfied.
Yes.
Those are all the questions I have. Ms. Amy. Have the rest of the moment.
Mr. Maffei, if you would.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My report is dated October 31st. As indicated, we're here seeking approval to remove the existing single family dwelling and construct a new single family dwelling. As indicated, the property is located in the R150 and the Mineral Zoning District. Per ordinance, the most restrictive zone is applied, therefore we're looking at the Mineral Zone. The first one is the D6 variance for the height. It is 10% more than permitted principal building height. The second is for the D4 variance to increase the square ratio of all what is permitted. There are existing nonconformities that exist on site, being minimum side yard setback, both north and south, total side yard setback, rear yard setback, building coverage, impervious coverage, parking setback, and the maximum rear yard to the building measure from the front line. The new application eliminates those conditions. C variance required for the cupola height, and then of course performance guarantee because all the sidewalks and everything will be replaced for public improvements, providing for an inspection escrow for all improvements and affirmable favors. And of course, any plan revisions the board seems fit and any outside agency approvals. That's it, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. I'll open it up to the board for questions. Ms. Schneider?
Yeah.
Lode?
Just one question. So if it were the RO150 zone, that's a 4,500 square foot minimum of 50 feet. So it would be a non-conforming lot for that zone, correct?
It would be, but it would be still a by right. You'd be able to build a single family.
and all the everything else in the specs here conforms to what's allowed.
It was designed in that vein. Yes, sir. It was only once it got to the zoning officer that we realized that we weren't able to do that.
Any other question? Thank you.
Cupola. That puts you over the height restriction. Do you have to have it? Something function up there that makes it necessary?
I'll reserve an answer to your question, Mr. Wood, if everybody else goes. I need to converse with my clients about that.
Mr. Maffei?
Yes.
I'm going to ask Gabriel another question. Can you dig up the habitable story allowance for an RO50, please?
Sure.
Can you bring Miss Amy up as well?
Sure.
I can also answer that question if you'd like.
Can you speak? Because I'm glad Dick brought it up. I was going to. You've glossed over the cupola completely. I'm pretty certain it serves a specific function in this case.
In this case, it lets light into the stairwell, quite literally. It doesn't add any usable space to the house.
Your third floor stairwell is completely ensconced in roof.
Yes.
But for the cupola, it has no light, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
It's Mrs. Lisa Kettleberger's vision that she wanted to add that to the property. And again, because we're using the NeoTrack standards, if we were using the RO standards, it'd be completely conforming.
Okay. That is three stories.
A full three habitable story.
Okay.
Dick, are you good?
Yeah, okay.
Bri?
My question was asked.
Repeat the three habitable stories again.
RO150 carries three habitable stories as allowable coverage.
I thought that was a mistake.
I only asked because if it were 0.4, they'd be mixing their ordinances and grabbing the best of all of it, right? If RO150 carried a 0.4, but NeoTrack carried a 0.6, and they dipped into the NeoTrack for the 0.6, that would be problematic.
Understood.
But insofar as an RO50, RO150 actually allows for three habitable stories. They're still conforming.
And a single.
Yes, they're
not
still conforming to that.
Duplex. Understood. Okay. Yeah, my question. I'm sorry, mine is.
No.
My question was more on that third floor. Just that. I guess. What is it? 0.56 of the floor below. Is that how that's calculated?
Correct. Yes.
Okay. And what, like, in that calculation, the HVAC, that room is not calculated in there. That attic room is also not calculated against that. Just when you look at, you know, your third floor plan, your second floor plan. Doesn't quite appear as it's...
The attic space would not, because that ceiling is below the 5 feet.
Low.
Yeah.
Understood. The HVAC room is the same?
Yes.
That's all I have.
Okay.
No question, Marco.
I don't think I have anything else right now. Close it to the board and open it up to the public. Anybody here wish to speak on this application? Seeing none, I'll close it. Summaries.
The argument here is one of fundamental fairness. I mean, it's clear that this was a mistake. It's an obvious mistake of the line bisecting.
I wouldn't subscribe to that logic, just letting you know. It's a stupid situation. I wouldn't say it's a mistake. There's too much in the zoning code that you could categorize as a mistake that way. And I don't think that's...
I think the testimony and evidence indicated that the NeoTrack has three properties that are oriented this way. Out of 59 properties, three are oriented this way. This happens to be one of them. It's two-thirds in the RO150, one-third in the NeoTrack.
It's asinine.
It's asinine.
You cannot label it a mistake.
Okay. It's asinine. Fine. Okay. It lives, it breathes, it looks like, it smells like an RO140 zone, RO150 zone.
That the master plan presumably has been studied ad nauseum multiple times, and it has not been done any differently as a result. So it's asinine. I would not categorize it as a mistake.
the lot does not match the purpose of the Neil Track Zone. It matches the purpose of the R150 zone, or RO150 zone. We have a rectangular lot that's oriented towards the beach. It's one of only three properties oriented towards the beach that are partially in this tract. Every other property in this tract faces north and south. This faces east and west. The mistake, if there was a mistake, was that assuming that it was fully in the R1050 zone, and we're here to have, hopefully correct what the planning board has failed to correct by granting the variances. I think we provided enough testimony and evidence to correct the variances.
That was a Roy Wagner thing. That was like a, I remember that because he wanted to keep that zone and those properties. That was like early 2000s.
Yeah. So, as an aside, somehow Fusco used to get some of these changes, but none of them since. You know, the corrected, I should say, change. Whatever. Okay, this is the application of Stephen and Lisa Kettleberger. Applicant was represented by Avery Tyler. Property is block 4701 Cornell 3, lot 2, 4721, also known as 4721 Central Avenue. The applicant is seeking to demolish an existing single family structure and replace it with a single family structure. The project was originally designed to fit the RO150 zone, and all the dimensions were set to comply with that zone. When it was determined that the property actually sits predominantly in the RO150 zone, but somewhat in the Neil Track zone, it's been determined that the Neil Track zone is the more restrictive zone. Therefore, the ordinance requires that it meet the Neil zone, which it does not, but it does meet the RO150 zone. To the north and south of these properties are single-family properties of similar dimensions, meaning the lots, and similar zoning, and therefore similar design to what the applicant has presented there. The applicant opines that special reasons exist as a result of it being in a split zone, special reasons being hardship, which split zones create just by their very nature, number one. Number two, as to the specific variances, the applicant indicates that the variance could be granted without substantial detriment and that the benefits outweigh. The benefits outweigh it in that the design will be consistent with the neighborhood scheme, the zone for the RO150, and be consistent with the predominant zoning of the individual lots. The applicant opines that the variance can be granted without substantial detriment in light of the fact that it fits the neighborhood and is predominantly in the RO1 and looks, as I said, it looks like, walks like, etc., an RO150, and therefore the applicant requests that it be treated as such, and therefore the applicant finds that the variance can be granted. Standard conditions apply, plus those enumerated as number 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 as delineated on Mr. Maffei's report. Need a motion.
Buck.
Waddell.
Mr. Waddell?
The cupola, I think, is just a personal thing with me. I don't know why you would jeopardize giving this and putting a cupola up there when you could jeopardize the whole thing. But other than that, I think it's a good plan. I'm voting for it.
Mr. Price?
Yes.
Mr. Geary?
Yes.
Mr. Logue?
Yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mrs. Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Buck?
Yes.
Thank you. Scared me.
Thank you. You had something up there, like a mouth trap.
Do you want to move the plans back, Avery? It's not French.
Just the south.
Highlight reel.
30-foot lots.
After you, John.
Do we want to put it on the record, the notice?
You can if you want, or I can.
I mean, it's in the file, but let's just put it on the record for record's sake. So there was a 200-foot list, and the 200-foot list was slightly dated. More than usual, but nothing ridiculous, but slightly dated. There had been a request for an updated list when it was deemed conforming. That slipped slightly through the cracks on the applicant's side. In any event, the applicant used the old list. The only change, though, from the old list to the new list was one property. That individual was not noticed, so that could be potentially a jurisdictional issue for today's meeting. The applicant satisfied that by getting a consent from the owner who was not noticed, waiving, which is permitted, that issue, and therefore the application can go through and we have jurisdiction to handle it.
When was the 200 list provided?
June, right?
It's dated,
Do I have it? Am I just being obtuse and not looking at it?
Hopefully it's in the packet. It's supposed to be in the packets.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, here.
June 19th.
So I go by that date.
It's June 19th. As I said, it's not terribly old, but it is old, and it was requested that it be updated.
Does anybody happen to know the address that we're...
I want to put that on the record, the address in question.
160...
Pinnacle Road.
Pinnacle Road.
160 Pinnacle Road.
And the old owner at 160... Do you want to put that on the record as well?
Or will you satisfy? I might just go run it off.
Okay.
Run it off. See where we are at 160 Pinnacle Road.
Is... Let me get the owner of that on record. We'll track the current owner. Old owner at 160.
All right, so it's the corner, Andrew. Is that right?
Pardon?
The corner of Pinnacle at Skull Road. Right?
Well, 160 Pinnacle Road is Larry Cohn Corporation. That's the old. You got the new one, which is who? Do you know the name? I know you went and got the author's. The waiver.
Jeffrey DeLeone.
Yes, Jeffrey DeLeone is the new owner. Very nice guy. As a matter of fact, he had a root canal done yesterday.
And he still consented and
said he got that. He was kind enough to consent. Super nice guy, actually.
You don't have it?
Okay. We'll put it all on the record then.
Get back to what I was doing.
Your presentation now.
No, give me a second.
It's 70.3013 is the lot.
It's the last page.
Yeah, it is the
column. Okay. All right. Go do what you're doing.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. John Bastini on behalf of the applicants Louis Calzi and Virginia Poliwatt. The applicant is the owner of 505 Gulf Haven Drive, which might be called Gull Haven Road. Now, what's really interesting about Gull Haven Drive is it's actually owned by the individual residents. There's actually no easement. They own halfway to the street, not to the curb line like we typically see. Despite that, the city of Ocean City still clears it when it snows and it still takes their trash. But interestingly enough, it's actually not owned by the city itself, which creates a whole bunch of interesting issues that Mr. Petrel had to deal with, and he will explain them as he comes up. With us today is Mr. Bechtel and Mr. Lou Calzi, and I'll be taking brief testimony from Mr. Calzi. If he can come up, we'll swear him in.
Okay, you want to read that right now, sir? You might as well as one of your right there, Andrew. Do you both agree to testify? Do you both agree to testify? You're going to give this, will be truthful.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you give us your name and affiliate and your address?
That's Lou Calzi, C A L
G-I, and our address at home or at the shore?
Here, please.
505 Gold Haven Drive.
Okay.
So, how did you become an owner to this house?
So we inherited this house from my mother. She passed away in 2023. My sister and I inherited the house. We've been coming to Ocean City since we were born, actually. My parents owned this house since 1977. And my grandparents owned the house on Seabright Road that we came to before we owned this house. So we intended to renovate this house, and after looking at all the options and the costs, it was just cost prohibitive to lift the house and try to renovate it. So we decided we just were going to build new. And in that, we really wanted to accomplish three things. One was a first floor that was purely living space that was open. But had some places for my sister has a family where they could go, where we could get away, you know, from each other since we're both living there together. Second floor, all bedrooms. Third floor, storage. We're going to build the house on a concrete slab. It's a small garage. We don't have a lot of storage, so we wanted more storage space than we have now. So I think we've accomplished those things. Given it's an odd lot, there's a lot of compromises we had to make on space and on rooms, but I think we got to a place where we're happy.
Now, the second floor is not all bedrooms, correct? You might have just misspoke.
Yeah, so the second floor is bedrooms and study and a den with all our family. We've got people who work from home, and we have sometimes we just want to get away from each other, so we've created spaces, quiet spaces, and bedrooms on the second floor.
And you're the single guy, right?
I'm the single one.
You're the one that works. Now, when you look through these plans, it's kind of interesting there's no master anything. Why is that?
Right, so my sister and I own this house equally, so we decided to split the bedrooms up between us, and we share them. So we didn't create any master bedrooms, just regular-sized bedrooms for us to share.
And you've got a walk-up attic, correct?
Right.
Partially screened. We're going to put something else upstairs. Tell this board that that is not your intent, and tell them why it's storage.
So, yes, we do not intend to use the third floor as anything other than storage. And it looks like now a significant amount of HVAC equipment needs to go up there for the system. So for us, it's we just in the house today, we have literally nowhere to store anything. So we wanted a lot of storage, and we have no intentions of turning that into a bedroom or anything other than HVAC and storage up there.
A single car garage, right?
Yep.
And that single car garage is actually going to have a car in it?
Yep.
And not a lot of room there for storage.
And no crawl space. It's being built on a slab. So we said we need storage. We need places to get away from each other. So I think we accomplished that.
I have no further questions for Mr. Cowsey. If the board does, if they want to ask later.
No, we'll do it later. Thanks.
Thank you.
See Mr. Bechtel many and many a times. I believe he could be addressed as a professional in his field. Thank you. Mr. Bechtel, can you describe the current condition of the building?
Yeah, it's in good shape. But it's getting older, long years. It had already been through one renovation about 20-some-odd years ago. Again, to try to rip the house apart and put it back together wasn't really on the plate for these my clients, so we decided to start construction. All
right. And tell me about the lot.
So, what's strange, there's a lot of great things in here. And, you know, I feel bad for Mr. Maffei. because of all the ridiculousness that's on us. So the way the city interprets this lot is they're saying that our lot area is everything that is encompassed by the property lines, meaning we go all the way out into the private drive. However, is the city's interpretation that while we have all that area, we have to measure our front yard setbacks from the curb line. On top of that, the rear yard setbacks are measured from lot depth, 25% lot depth. So now I still take the long depth that my lot is all the way out in the middle of the street, and I got to do 25% down each side property line. So I'm penalized because my curb line, which is my de facto front yard, but not my property. It's on my property, but it's back. It's kind of a little ridiculous. I'm not measuring my distance from that curb line back to do a rear yard setback. I'm measuring from all the way out the street to the end of the rear property to do my rear yard setback. So there was no way any house is going to be built on this lot without getting a rear yard setback variance. We've tried to improve it slightly where there was a bump out in the rear yard. We've improved it on that one side. In the front yard, we are from the front property line actually 20 feet and change. But from the curb line, we're slightly less than what we were before because we did an architectural bay on the front of the house, basically. These specific regulations that apply pretty much only to a lot like this. There are other lots in Ocean City where the property line might be at the curb line, but rarely has it ever been into the street. There was another item that was also brought up about the parking situation. So what's very interesting here is we have one in the garage, we have one in the driveway that kind of sticks out into the drive that I own. That's not been an issue, but we also have a third parking space on the street. I'm going to hand this out as another exhibit. But this third parking space is also on the street. Now, if you Google the image and walk by the lot, you'll notice that most of the people in this area either pull in their driveways, pull in their garages, or park on the street out in front of their houses. If you put the Google image right now, you'd see that. So we're including that space because it's on our property. So we have the three off-street parking spaces for the technically four bedrooms that were shown, which require technically 2.5 parking spaces. They're all in there. They're within the buffers as far as 1 foot separate from any property line. This is a private drive. I mean, I live in the gardens. Mr. Bucks lives in the gardens. Other people live in the gardens. I think you go by the street, you think it's an alley, for goodness sake. You see cars parked back there. You never really venture down there. There's not even a sidewalk, which, again, was brought up in Mr. Bay's report. To put a sidewalk on this tiny little piece of property that has a driveway already on it would seem absolutely ridiculous in this location, specifically because nobody's really walking back there. They're driving their car. They might walk down to the beach, but they're walking out at the driveway.
Insofar as the driveway is usually in the right-of-way, the sidewalk's usually in the right-of-way, you essentially have it.
Correct.
No easement. There's no nothing. This is literally owned by them very to the middle of the street. It's the strangest thing.
Difficult lot to work with because it's hard to get a straight answer. It took a little while to get a straight answer on the room. That's not Mr. McFay's problem or his fault. It was getting it from the actual administration how they were going to determine this. Because we had worked on another house before where we never really got a straight answer and never pursued that problem.
Whether this gets granted or denied, you might want to consider talking to the city, talking to Dottie on the crossing about getting it vacated, period.
So that conversation has taken place over the last 5 years.
And 5 years.
For whatever reason, it doesn't go anywhere. It just stays the way that it is. And
a lot of things don't go anywhere, but okay.
But what we have done is we've kept the building under the square footage, building coverage that's required. We've kept it and reduced the impervious coverage as well. The height is within the height boundaries. The side yard setbacks are within their boundaries. We're compliant on the side yard setbacks. The rear yard setback, which I already stated, because of the unusual, not even the unusual shape of the lot, but how the lot is now being measured, is a detriment to us because, again, it's creating an artificially large rear yard setback. And again, this is consistent with the development on Long Ball Haven Drive. It's all very tight rear yards, houses closer to the front. Most of the houses all have their driveways that are partially in, partially out of what is the perceived drive. This is consistent with it. The other reason we did the slab on grade is to keep it consistent with kind of the height of the structure. You know, there was some discussion of, well, do we just raise the whole dang thing up, park underneath the whole thing,
avoid any parking issue, but then it wouldn't look anything like the other houses on that horseshoe block. We believe this is the more sensitive solution to that. The houses have been there for a very long time. They didn't want to upset their neighbors. That is why they did the house this way. So we provided storage for them instead of underneath the house in the attic space that we have, and we happen to have a walk-in attic.
Now, we're asking for a front yard setback, right?
Yes.
Are we in line with everybody else?
We are in line, as I just stated. And again, from the front property line, the actual property line, we're 20 feet back. But when you have to measure from the curb line, we are not that, obviously.
And I'm going to go back to this parking that looks really odd because it seems to be halfway into the street.
Yes.
You've been down that block a couple of times. Is that how everyone else parks? This is how people park there.
This is how they park there.
They're butt
end. It's the neighbors know each other. That's their drive. That's where they park their cars. That's how it works.
That's their property.
Yes, it is.
So one of the things that we were looking for is a requirement for sidewalk.
Yes.
As you talk about our waiver for sidewalk, that we're seeing.
As the head of the board already noted, the drive acts as the de facto sidewalk in this case. So people that are walking the beach just walk down the drive, hit the sidewalk on the main streets, and go from there. It doesn't make any sense here because, again, not only we're not even at the very beginning of the horseshoe where it would make some sense, like, hey, here we're starting the sidewalk. We're in the middle of the property. We're in the middle of the whole horseshoe where the sidewalk isn't doing any good to anybody, quite frankly.
And we're seeking a variance. We can see it's under two. One would be the scene one, the
yes.
Hardship. What, I mean, the hardship with respect to the...
I don't think it gets more unique than this kind of lot in the city. I've never had a lot where it's like, you own this, but you can only measure to that. That's kind of ridiculous. I guess the closest thing to it would be like a bayfront home where the tax map says you own out the bay, but you have to measure from your rear yard setback. But again, you're not parking there. You might be parking a boat there, but you're not, you know, your house is there. That would be the only close to it.
And there's also reasons under the C2, correct?
Yes.
For example, this is a to protect against safety.
Well, for fire, flood, to bring it up to code. I mean, it's an older house. It had an addition put on basically the east side, but the rest of it wasn't fixed up. So, you know, it's got old bones. It's from 77 or earlier, technically. So it's not insulated as well. It's not, you know, the foundation, there was some discussion about the foundation as well that had been inspected. The foundation was a very old foundation. They didn't think it would support an additional story on top of it, so that had to be removed. So this is bringing it up into code to, you know, match today's standard of build.
And aesthetically as well, pleasing?
Yeah, again, we could have done it all raised up in the air. We didn't think that would make any sense in this neighborhood to do that. You know, the Cowsies love this neighborhood. They've been here since 77. They want to see something that was consistent with the development in the area. Yes, they have a taller attic space, but again, that's to provide that storage. I think that's the more sensitive the solution than lifting the whole building up in the air, which we do not want to do.
And can the variance be granted without substantial detriment to the public good?
I don't see how it's a detriment at all. It's consistent front and rear with other homes along that horseshoe. I think it's consistent with the development. I think it's consistent with the look. I think it's consistent with the heights before.
And it will not substantially impair the intent of the zone plan or zoning ordinances for the city?
No, it does not. We're trying our best to fit into it. And I mean, for a front yard and rear yard, technically really just a rear yard, I think we're in, you know, we did a pretty good job.
And it is your testimony today that there's three parking spots.
There is three parking spaces on the property that are 9x18 that fit on them. So there is no issue with the parking. And again, this is, it's on the east side of the Gardens Parkway, which is great, but this is its own kind of enclave. I don't think somebody who's trying to go to the beach is sneaking into that alley and trying to find extra parking space. I think they'd be, you know, they don't even know it's there. I think most people drive by it think it's just an alley.
Well, we only need 2.5 parking spaces because we have 4 bedrooms, correct?
That is correct. And the house, I mean, again, this wasn't in front of the zoning board. The house is under 3,500 square feet. You'd only need 2 off-street parking spaces. So again, we're meeting the higher standard, which is the RSIS standards for New Jersey, which is we're providing 3, 2.5, but it only be required in this case.
We have no anything else to add.
Mr. McFay?
I must say this is probably one of the stranger applications I've ever
reviewed.
And just in the trademark report, I did consult with the zoning official just to make sure we were consistent with how this has been looked at before. So, again, I'm here seeking approval to demo the existing house and build a new house. They do need setback variances for the front yard and the rear yard. And just to kind of reiterate from the zoning official, sidewalk is required along the frontage. Waiver is being requested. And again, we've had discussions about it. I don't believe the sidewalk would be very safe in this instance. The front yard setback, as indicated, is measured from the curb line. This application, the existing structure is 9.83 feet and proposed structure is 7.83 feet. And again, the lot area is determined by the property line, which do extend into the existing street, if you want to call it street. So the street area is actually included in the lot area. The final plan shall clearly demonstrate how the existing overhead utility lines are to be reconstructed. Currently, there are two utility poles on the lot in question, and these poles also supply service to 505, 507, and 511 Baldwin Drive. One street tree is required. A contribution of Lewis Street Tree is requested. Obviously, I don't really see a place for the Spur Street Tree. No performance guarantees required since you will not get any public improvements because there are no public improvements. And it's provided inspection escrow for the inspection of the various pavers and the retaining wall. And of course, any plan revisions if the board sees fit and any outside agency approvals. That's it.
Thank you. Welcome to the board, Mr. DeMarco.
The walk-up, I just had a question on the walk-up back. So, on the walk-up back, the windows that are up there, right? Mm-hmm. There's like one on each side of the house?
There are a couple decorative windows. There's no egress windows up there at all. So, in the front gable end, we have three windows to get some light into that because, again, that's the walk-up space is in, on the front of the house, so it's bringing light down that stair.
Okay.
The window that's on what would be the east side or on the right side elevation. That's actually in storage space as well. And then the window that's on the left side elevation is another small rectangle square window. They're simply for aesthetic purposes a windowless third, whatever half attic space is gonna be kind of weird.
All right, thank you. That's all I wanted to ask you.
Thank you.
Mr. Price.
Mr. Maffei, if that third floor were turned into a bedroom with a bathroom and anything else down the road, would that affect anything we're here for today?
It would affect the parking spaces, yes.
Parking spaces. To Mr. DeMarco's point, I mean, I understand that that can't be a bedroom, but if I could not have that as an egress window.
None of their egress windows.
None of their egress windows.
No, that was the point for aesthetics.
Regardless, of, I understand it's not a bedroom, but just for safety purposes, don't you think it would be helpful to have an egress window up there?
I'd be fine to add one. I just didn't think the board, again, it's for storage. I don't want anybody thinking that somebody was doing something, you know, shiesty there. So, again, from an aesthetic perspective, I'd rather have a little glass than no glass at all. So if you want me to have a bigger window, we can certainly put bigger windows up there.
Not certain to the board.
And as far as parking is concerned, or bedroom count,
storage or not, there's going to be people up there. If anything ever happened, how are they going to get down?
Well, they're not sleeping up there. From, in that kind of situation, they have to go up there. A fire would have to break out, and I would hope they'd be awake to come back down. So it's more or less if you're really traveling. Not to mention, because...
I believe you were going to say something about the parking space.
Yes. So again, five you only need three off-street parking spaces. You're going to be at five bedrooms anyway. So there's no... We'd still be covering it with the three off-street parking spaces. So there's no variance.
Right, so if you made that a bedroom, what you're saying, you still have your parking.
We still have parking. We're consistent with parking. Either way.
So just my thought, all the more reason why you may want to do this one up there.
Well, I believe we could put one in later if ever that was done, and we wouldn't have to go back to this board potentially. But again, at the time, we didn't want there to be any question about it. That's why we didn't put it in. If the board wants us to do it, we'll do it. But that's why we didn't put it in.
That's all I have.
I think, though, it would affect the FAR, wouldn't it, Joe? If they made that habitable?
They're not saying it's for habitable space. I'm not considering it for habitable space. If they were to convert it to habitable space, they'd have to go to construction, which would kick it back to here anyway if this did get approved. Correct, Mark?
Our resolutions indicate any change.
So we'll get a second bite at it if they decide to convert it to habitable space. Brad Geary.
Just to follow what Mr. Price said, are we saying we're going to change out the windows?
No, we're there.
Yeah.
But if we don't change them out and they do, they're going to have to come back here?
If they wanted to convert this to habitable space somehow, presumably they'd get a building permit. If they went for a building permit, because this had been to the zoning board, it would have to come back. Even though it would theoretically be strictly an interior renovation to an existing structure.
Step one, the window is needed for safety if it was going to be habitable. They say it's not habitable. If they change their mind, then they're going to have to go through the process.
If Andrew made the right side elevation a casement window instead of a double hung, I'm 90% certain, without seeing a dimension on it, it would probably categorize as an egress window. But I think we're chasing it down the rabbit hole unnecessarily. If you don't like the attic, just vote no on the application.
I hear you.
Simple as that.
What changes if that turns into a bedroom? What are they coming back for? Down the road, let's say that. Say this owner sells a house, somebody else buys it. I know we're going down the rabbit hole, but what changes? What are they coming back for?
If they were to come back,
it's just that it's an amendment. It's an amendment to a previously approved plan that has been in the zoning board.
It's not a habitable story. It's not an FL.
No, it's not.
They would not need a single variance, Mr. Price. Best we know now. Ordinance can change, number one. But number two, 40:55D- either 10 or 12, and I confuse which one is which, says if there is be a substantial change, and considering we discussed it at length here, changing that and putting in a habitable space up there would be a substantial change and would require them to come back to the zoning board. Okay?
Okay. And we did include all the half-story calculation and all the FAR for that space.
Right, so
the space has already been considered as far as the application is concerned. We wouldn't be adding or subtracting. It's already there.
And its net effect on parking is nil.
Correct. The effect on parking is nil. Absolutely.
So in answer to your question, it's not a variance, but it's a deviation from the original approval. Okay?
Correct.
Are you guys good with what's been said?
Yep.
Your impervious coverage is calculated to the property line, not the...
Yes, not to the curb line, sir. That is correct.
The curb line?
Yes, sir.
Ridiculous. There's no easements at all?
No.
There's not even... For utilities, there's no utility easement. There's zero easements.
All the research that we've done, we have come up with nothing.
And by all accounts, this is not a result of subdivision. This is the way it was originally laid out. And they all have a Gull Road address.
Gull Haven, by the way. Gull Haven.
No,
not Gull Road.
On the tax office, it's all Gull Road.
It's Gull Road.
Yeah.
That's true. They don't acknowledge it. It's the we.
So Ryan, you guys are next door, and what's your Gull Road address? What's
515.
Whoa! You're next door.
No. He's working. Sorry, he's working.
Oh.
He's going down real fast.
Just wanted to clarify.
Yeah.
So, like these pick up in the low 500s.
Yes.
And wrap through, and then pick up. Okay, it's just asinine.
I argued with John. I said, you got the wrong address on here.
No, we went back and forth. I went back. This goes back to, by the way, this goes back to 2020 with dealing with the city. And not continuously, but that's how far this goes back with all the road. Trying to figure out what people can do on this road. Okay.
Mr. Wendell?
Yeah, I agree with Ryan. I can see a window out there just for safety's sake. Or ventilation.
We're happy to put that window in. We'll put that window in.
You don't have to change the plan. Just change.
I'll make it a casement. Yes.
It is correct.
I'll make it work as a casement.
Okay.
Well, revisions are required anyway.
Yes. That satisfy everybody?
So, yeah. Can you put the window?
The gable end on the right side, as drawn as double hung, will be casement.
And you'll put that on the revised plan?
Yes, we will.
Just curiosity, who determines where the new power pole is going to go?
So,
is that ACE?
All right, okay, we're going to the rabbit hole now.
All right. So
it's going to be history lesson.
Ryan might be able to give a little feedback on this as well, but I talked to Ryan Price, Ryan Price Electrician, the electrical company. They moved some wires to begin with when they started the construction on the house that's technically behind us. Mm-hmm. Those clients are also building a pool that need to have the lines buried. So lines are being buried, I believe. You tell me I'm standing out of turn here, but I believe those clients are having the lines buried all the way back to that pole anyway, because they can't have those lines exposed that close to their pole. Then we will have the lines buried from the pole that's all the way at the back corner, the easterly corner. We will bury any of the other utilities to the neighbor's house that is in the center of the horseshoe.
So you're burying everything. So
we're burying basically everything, yes.
Not going to interfere with the neighbors. Okay, thank you.
That is correct, yes.
No questions.
Schneider?
No questions
for me. I want one of you two to. You're good with the window?
Yeah, I'm fine with the window.
You're good with the attic space being attic space?
As long as we are in agreement that it doesn't. I mean, I said it, if it were not attic space, we wouldn't be requesting any additional variances. And it sounds like that's the case. Mm-hmm.
No, but the applicants here are asking for one thing.
So in my opinion, it doesn't make a difference if it were habitable or not. We're in the same exact place we're in right now. Is that that's at least my understanding.
Let me say this differently. Is your opinion of the attic casting any doubt on your opinion of the application as a whole?
Not really, no.
Okay. I'm only asking that because that would be fair to allow the applicant to know that it's bothering you that much.
No.
That's all I'm saying.
That is not bothering me.
Okay. Bri?
No, not at all.
Okay. We beat this dead horse. Summaries?
No public.
Seen? No, I'm sorry.
Public.
Not so fast. I'm going to close to the board, open to the public. Anybody here wish to speak on this application? Perfect. Summaries?
No.
Thank you.
Okay, it's the application of Halsey and Virginia Paluwala. Applicants represented by Mr. Battistini. Andrew Rickroll testified on behalf of the applicant. The applicant is desirous of demolishing the existing structure and replacing it with another single family in the Gardens R1 neighborhood zone. Property located at 505 Bell Road, also known as Block 70.29, Lot 4. The applicant presented testimony that the property is unusual and therefore under the C1 criteria qualifies for variance in that portion of the property is, I guess, maybe listed as a paper street, although it's totally owned, there's no easement, et cetera. So the measurement for the setback is to the curb rather than to the property end, and the applicant indicates that if it's measured to the actual property end, then they don't require variance. And the rear yard, though, the building could not be built without a variance. Okay, so under the C1. Under the C2 criteria, the applicant indicated the benefit. The granting of the variance benefits the detriment, and further that the variance could be granted without any substantial detriment. Last point, in light of the fact that all of the setbacks other than the ones indicated conform, the pervious coverage is being slightly reduced from a non-conforming to a conforming. But for the most part, setbacks are pretty much remaining the same, and the building is consistent with the neighborhood scheme. Mr. Maffei's report indicates certain conditions that would be in addition to the standard conditions, including, though, the applicant is seeking a waiver for the shade tree, which is a contribution in lieu. There was one other waiver, wasn't there? Waiver for the sidewalk. And Mr. Maffei's report indicated that sidewalk wouldn't not be appropriate in the neighborhood. So waiver for that as well. I need a motion.
Buck.
Waddell.
Mr. Waddell?
Yes.
Mr. Price?
Yes.
Mr. Geary?
Yes.
Mr. Logue?
Yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mrs. Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Buck?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you.
See you. said yes.
Mark, thank you for your years and years, decades of dedication. I'm happy to be the last face that you see as an applicant's attorney. Ladies and gentlemen, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, John. Thank you. That's your pen. I'll say the same as that one. No, this is my pen. And wait, is this the same as that one?
No, it's okay. Better. Yeah. So I know it's yours and it's mine.
Yeah.
Throw them out first.
You want to do executive? All right. We have to. We're going into executive session. We need to clear the room, please.
She's so much fun at the playing.
She was sick, she said. And then I guess Joe can stay for the first, I guess.
You have to stay for all of them.
Okay. Well, because I don't know, you might fire him. I don't know.
Joe, you coming back next year? There you go. Done.
Take one and pass him down. Except for Mark doesn't need one.
Mark's going to advise us since he's here. Mark's going to tell us whether it's all on the level or not.
Okay. Well, number one, I'm retired. And I just took my phone and did a calculation. 61% of my life I've been in zoning influence in Ocean City.
Maybe
65? Yeah, I don't think so. Anyhow, so everybody now knows that I will be retiring. As such, though, made a couple of reach outs, but well, Tammy made a tap.
Oh, Tammy. Wow, you're going out with a bang, aren't you?
Senior moments I have.
Give me that stuff back.
Tammy made some reach outs, and I also had recommended, and I know she reached out independently, I think, Manus Law Firm. Now, Leo, it's Elias, but it's Leo. The board may remember that he was here one of the times that I was not. I just had a conversation with Mr. Price today. In the 7 or 8 years that you've been here, I've missed one meeting, and I tried not to. And that was part of my decision of not staying on and retiring. Because, and I thought about that, even though I'd be retired from the office, you know, keeping this. And the point is that if I'm going to stay, then I've always made it my business to be here, schedule my vacations around, et cetera, et cetera. So I've opted not to do that. But Leo, in my mind, was the perfect candidate. He did cover for me, so you got to know him. He was co-counsel on the matter with the beach. Okay. He's out of that case now. They'll mostly be fighting over a whole bunch of other stuff rather than the appeal from the board that had nothing to do with anything that he decided. I will say this. On the appeal, the judge made a comment to Mr. Mattis, Leo, about how really good his brief was, and it was. So I have no problem. But I also know the following. He's a zoning board solicitor in a number of towns, and a number of them, at least two, maybe three, but I know definitely two, are Battery Island towns. We're talking Margate, we're talking Ventnor. He's also across the big river, Summers Point. And he's been at both of them for a long time. I've appeared in front of him both, and he's well respected in front of those boards. I'll bring him up to speed on everything. I've already done this, whoever's going to take it. I put all my templates, so to speak, on my computer. So, you know, by the time I go to this meeting, the resolutions are mostly done. I fill in what happened here. So he'll have all of those things, and then he'll be able to fill in from there. That way, every resolution isn't done in time for the next meeting. So he'll have that. I'll give him a whole bunch of prior bills to follow, okay? In that regard, including, you know, the billing system,
meaning
the stuff that has to be done. So if the
I'm pretty good at training. I train Joe and board member, new engineer on the planning board.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but I will provide him with all of that.
Cool.
I'd ask, though, if you're going to do this, you know, obviously he'll take over at the beginning of the year, mm-hmm. but I'd ask for the one thing, and that is for the litigation, that you vote to allow him to immediately take over the litigation so he's not jammed up on the holidays, because we got, look, there's briefs due between now and January 15th. And so if he didn't have the files to get involved in, he'd be in a tough spot, okay? So this way I'd be able to give him a substitution attorney, turn over that parts of the files, and then later bring him up to date on everything. So, but that's why I recommend Leo. But I know some board members have indicated they do remember him. You've seen him in front of us as well. But more importantly, I know that he's been a solicitor. There's a difference between applicants and solicitors, okay? Well, I do a number of different matters in front of other boards, okay? I do. But their attorneys have no clue what to do on this end. Leo does, okay? And he's good at it.
Mark, just a comment.
Yeah.
So if you, the litigation that's going on.
Yeah.
So the board would need to consider, because he wouldn't have a 25 PO. So the board would need to consider awarding of the contract, like effective, we could say like November 20th.
Tomorrow. As far as the litigation goes, yes.
Yeah. So that would be, yeah.
But he wouldn't do a bill until after 25 anyway, so it wouldn't really matter.
Yeah, but if he did work in December.
I got you.
I wouldn't pay him. And he can't retro bill December on a 26 PO.
Well, then, what you can do, and let me bill his work.
And whatever. Okay, yeah. that's easier than because he probably won't even get the PO issued until.
He can give me.
Pay you for two.
It's yeah.
He'll it's run his hours.
They won't pay for two professionals.
Yeah.
Right.
He'll just run his hours.
Okay. All right. So we're looking at.
But allow him, but authorize him to do them, you know, to handle
that. That's up to the discretion. Yes. Okay.
So, but, you know, last and not least, I want to thank everybody. Okay? I mean, it's been, like I said, over 60% of my life I've been, you know, coming to these. And, like I say, over all those years that I've been here, I think it's probably less than 10 meetings I've missed, including a lot of travesties, you know, that I've had to deal with over the years and still managed to get here. Rearranged my vacation, so I rarely ever miss stuff. And you know what? I like it. I've liked it, and I've enjoyed it. And the people that are here, there's an exception, not here, not this room. There was an exception, okay, of time that I, but without getting into that,
you were on it then, weren't you?
No. Good. Doesn't matter. Not you. The stupid. The same property that the restaurant.
Yeah.
The beach restaurant. There was that.
Angels on the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the exception of that, and certain board members that were on it at that point in time. It has really been enjoyable. I've been on other boards where I worried that are they making decisions? They got paid off, believe it or not. Okay, I got to be the solicitor of Little Egg Harbor Township, a totally Republican town, because all the Republicans got caught taking payoffs on the planning board. Okay. I've never had to worry about that for one day yet, and believe it or not, solicitors do worry about that.
So, Leo's credentials and resume, same fee as what Mark's charging. You know, it would just be, we can, it's at the board's discretion, though, we can reappoint without having to go out to bid, which we're permitted to do.
I make a motion to do that.
Yeah, thank you.
Second.
Okay. And then same thing. For Mr. Maffei's.
He said he's coming back.
You coming back, Joe?
I'm coming.
Okay, we can reappoint without having to... Okay.
You know, Joe, it really has been a pleasure. Obviously, I recommend you. I've used you in other municipalities. Dave, you know, I miss him. Yeah. No offense, I mean, no offense.
I knew John, or I knew Dave well. Yeah. Not the other best.
It was wonderful working with Dave.
I knew Dave well.
But I have to say, it's a lot easier having one person as the planner engineer. Not that I love my professionals on the planning board, but it's hard because I'll get a planner's report saying something's incomplete.
Those guys are a pain.
And the engineer report saying it's complete. Yeah, you can attack, because you just got through a port apple. Yeah, so it's nice having the one.
Unless I don't know who to thank and I don't know what to
do. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, it's raining. It's raining, so I had to get you an Ocean City umbrella.
Thank you.
Then you can open that whenever. And the card, there was a card too.
And I have the card.
Okay.
I have the card. And
thank you.
It was great you got some of the attorneys up here in front. And I said to Mike, it'll come in handy because I've got a wedding to go to in New York on Saturday. We're staying over to Sunday. As I understand, it's raining.
Yeah, there you go. I thought, perfect. And it says Ocean City on it.
Says Ocean City on it?
It says Ocean City on it. Okay. I was looking for something.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right.
What's your plans for retirement? What are you going to do?
Well, I have a 10-month-old granddaughter. So we finally got our first granddaughter.
Congratulations.
That's part of it. We got a trip for Tahiti in February. October we have Japan. My wife wants to do.
Do you want to come out of executive?
Safari, Africa. But, well, you know, with those two, I don't know the budget will handle safari as well. I mean, they're all bucket list trips.
Yes. Sir,
I'm
75
years old. I better get them done.
Sir, we're an executive. We have to clear the room.
There had been, like I said, there had been some consideration of closing up my office and kind of staying here. These trips are 3 weeks at a time and two, whatever.
You forwarded the meeting schedule.
To Leo, yeah.
To Mark.
Oh, did I send it to you too? I don't think I did. The 2026 meeting schedule. I don't think
what
I even
mean
sent it.
Those Wednesdays are okay. I mean,
yeah,
for you, so you can come and
hang out. The car.
I mean, after all, do you think I actually look?
I wait for Jamie to email.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. You know, years ago when the place in the town was a lot busier, and there were two per month, I'd have to look to see if the second was actually occurring. I think that there are less applications, and I think part of it has to do with the board getting a little stiffer. So they're not...
Spread the word.
They are. It's spread. You know, you go, and I know you talk to Avery about, you know, Avery will tell you he doesn't bring a lot of applications. I mean, he brings lots of applications, he's the guy, but there are a lot more that he could bring that he tells people don't waste your time. You know, one time before a lot of you were here, there would be 10 variances
so they can
negotiate them down to the two they really wanted.
Yeah. Out of executive and motion to adjourn.
Yep. Goodbye.